Big Sloth.
Is it for real? We used to love it, then we watch it, now we don't know if we like it. Is it for real?
You're listening to
Is It For Real?
This is Philip.
And Katie.
And Bridget. And this week on the pod is the 1989 Cusack Sky rom-com dramadon, Say Anything. And I'm so excited because this week's introducer is a really awesome, badass person. She just happens to own, she's a female business owner, and owns and runs the world of the improv theater that I get to play with here in San Diego. And so this was right up her alley. She was like saying that this is like right around her own personal teenage years. So take it away, Amy L.
Say Anything, 1989. I was 19. Ah, that was forever ago. But these characters were our age. This was literally our time. And there's two things that I remember most about Say Anything. Obviously, John Cusack, you know, mixtapes were such a huge thing. And like, if you like somebody, you made them a mixtape. They had to like your music, or you had to get them to like your music. So that was huge. And to think of somebody literally holding a boombox over their head for you was just like, I don't think we used the word swoon then, but but the other thing was Ione Sky. Oh my God, Ione Sky. She wasn't real. And every single guy was just like drooling over her. And all of us were like, how is she real? And the valedictorian, there's no way. There's no way Lloyd Dobbs can have her. There's no way she'll date him, which is obviously the movie. But anyway, yeah, it was a great year, but I was not Ione Sky, and nobody ever held a boombox over their head for me. Is there time still?
Awesome.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, big time swoon. Well, we could get into levels, because my level probably would have been that, since holding a boombox over this is very iconic, but it's not going to be that.
Well, my level is going.
No, it's not my level.
Okay, yeah.
You could be your level. Okay. My level is going to be Mole in a Trench Coat, because this was a movie that I have seen before, although I didn't remember a single thing about it, that I did watch with my bestie, Sarah V. And apparently, and I remember us referring to John Cusack as a mole in a trench coat, because we thought he was like cute and squinty eyed and he was wearing a trench coat. And apparently she wrote that as a quote, or somebody wrote it as a quote somewhere in my senior year of college house. And it became like a thing to talk about John Cusack as a mole in a trench coat. Do you guys see it? Do you see?
Oh, Katie? Yes, 100%.
Looks like she's pontificate. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were asking if I literally saw like a mole and trench coat in my room.
It kind of looks a little bit like a little chicken with a pursed lips. Like, he has such tiny features. So the mole, definitely. I know what you mean. Moles have very gentle little noses and little mouths and little eyes.
Yeah.
I get what you mean. Spiky little hair. Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I've seen this before, but it's been a long time and I was remembering a different movie in my head, except for the boombox.
Yeah. Level is just going to be Jukebox in Your House. I definitely didn't see this when it came out. It was a little bit of like a hole of John Cusack. As we all know, I've seen a lot of his other movies many, 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 many times. But this was one I didn't see till maybe like 10 years ago. I may have even watched it with Katie. I don't know. But like, it maybe not, if she's shaking her head that she's never seen it. And yeah, I mean, saw it and filed away with all my other Cusack movies, but was always blown away by, wow, baller to have just a straight up record playing jukebox in your house. And then, of course, to find out how
problematic
he got that. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. That is a fun level. And like, I can pretty much guarantee we did not watch it together. I guess I'll make my level like a jukebox over someone's head. Like, I know so little, or rather a speaker. I'll do jukebox over someone's head. Like,
that man
speaker,
is strong.
Yeah, a boombox. A boombox over someone's head, and that, like, I know that somebody held up a boombox over their head. I don't know that that person is John Cusack, and I wouldn't have been able to tell you the title of the movie. You know, like in my head, that maybe is Patrick Dempsey from Can't Buy Me Love. Like, so I knew Say Anything. I know that's a movie, but I wouldn't have, I knew so little about this. And I guess in my head, I kind of had it as like a Brat Pack, like John Hughes thing, but it's not. And so, wow, and Annie has seen it before and she wouldn't tell me anything about it because she's like, I don't think you know anything about this. She wanted me to go in fresh. So yes, this was my very first watching.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not John Hughes. This is a Cameron Crowe flick.
Right.
And I was asking my couchmate, like, what is the most famous Cameron Crowe movie? I was curious what you guys thought.
I mean,
we picked one.
Annie is a huge Cameron Crowe fan, but when we were watching this, she considers herself a real almost famous Jerry Maguire Cameron Crowe girl. Sure. So, I mean, you might have to go with her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are what I think of when I think of Cameron Crowe. I mean, I honestly, if you'd asked me, did he do Say Anything, I would have said no. So I think of almost famous or Jerry Maguire.
And of course, Cameron Crowe, famous for going undercover as a high school student for Fast Times at Ridgemont High at Claremont High School here in San Diego.
Right.
Like being there, I think, while my couchmate's parents, his mom taught there. There's all these like weird Cameron Crowe San Diego connections.
Yeah.
And I finally read Fast Times at Ridgemont High once too, because I was like, I feel like I have to be more connected to this. So it was kind of interesting to see that he was the director.
Did you all think that Fast Times was the most?
No, we picked Jerry Maguire.
Mm. But also it's hard to not say almost famous, because that's essentially like a Cameron Crowe biopic, I think.
Yeah.
Sure.
In a way. So I like if the one that I associate with him more is Almost Famous. His most famous movie is probably Jerry Maguire.
Right. Just most quotable, most I think mainstream people have seen it.
It's got Spo in it. That's why Bridget loves it.
Yeah, it's got Spo. I do love Jerry Maguire, and we could watch it for the pod. It's 1996. It's not that long after this, although it feels like Jerry Maguire was yesterday.
Yeah, yes. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy that it's 7 years after this movie. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Katie, I'm excited. Well, and Phil too, but Katie, I'm excited to hear what you think since you came in cold as ice into the Say Anything story. Well, do you guys have any other fun facts before we get started? Sometimes you come in loaded with a fun fact.
I've got a bunch, but I'll sprinkle them in.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say, when I brought this up at work with my boss, who was like a little older than me, so she might have seen this in the theater. She had her thing that she thought about with this movie was his monologue at dinner, where she was like, oh, that's the one that's like he doesn't want to buy or process and process to buy to sell. And I'm like, oh, okay, which stuck out to me in this movie, but I it was interesting that that was like kind of on the tip of her brain. It's like, oh, it's that movie. It's like the anti-capitalism movie or something, you know, which is interesting to think about. Yeah.
So we meet Lloyd Dobler. I mean, he's just a real, I don't know. I have a real soft spot in my heart for Lloyd Dobler. Like, watching this movie again, I was like, wow, if you just watch this out of context, you might just think this is a stalker movie about a guy that can't let a girl go. But he's goofy. He's sweet. People like him. But he's not mainstream. I don't know how to describe it. He's like not a jock. He's just kind of like a kind of a quirky kid.
I think he was given off Lane vibes from Better Off Dead, right? Like it seems like a very similar character.
I was thinking the same thing. And then here's a little fact. He didn't actually want to do the movie just because he was tired of doing teenage movies where he graduates, and read the script and saw that it was this quirkier character and sort of got convinced to do it.
I mean, the other thing that it reminded me of, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Gross Point Blank which this is like the before to that. I'm like, this is that guy, right? Like, isn't this what he aged into? Like, even
I'm
the diatribe
very
at
much
dinner.
On board with that theory. Right? Like, there's a couple like switching the locations of the school, but other than that, there's so many things that this movie matches up with. Jeremy Piven's in both.
Yes, Joan Cusack.
the kickboxing. He even mentions the Benny the Jet, the famous kickboxer in this movie, who is then the villain in Gross Point Blank. And there's so many connections to it.
I thought for some reason that Joan Cusack had like blown through her smoking jacket thing, but apparently she has not. And neither has John Cusack. I think this is his fourth film we've watched.
Oh yeah,
same here for the pod. But I thought I just kept thinking we were talking about her so much, but I guess it was only like 16 Candles, and then there was Shirley Baker, who was the other Cusack.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So maybe that's what it was. We were like talking about her.
A less quirky Cusack.
Yeah. So Lloyd has these like gal pals that I'm like, are they gonna start like a lesbian band together?
It is a little like lesbian Greek chorus going on, right? Throughout it. And maybe I don't know if you guys recognize the one is Pamela Adlon.
She's not in the room all the time. She's like,
no, she's the, she's like she's the last
third friend.
Yes, yes, Wooey and Better Things, which I think is an incredible show, and the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill.
Yeah,
bunch of stuff.
I did not recognize her, but when she spoke, I was like, oh yes, it's that woman.
Totally.
That's funny.
I guess she auditioned for the second friend, not Corey, and didn't get the job.
DC.
But then they gave her this role.
The way these girls are billed, like one of them has a full name. It's like Corey Smith, and the other one's just like Rebecca, and then it's like DC. Like, who names these people? Why does some of them have full
and
names?
Even the names are kind of like this androgynous, like lesbian punk band situation. Yeah. They might as well be like Sleater-Kinney. Like, I don't know. Like, well,
that's what Jeff and I were saying, Sleater-Kinney, or I was saying, what's the other one? Boy Genius. I was like, it just feels very like they're in that genre to me.
I mean, tipping my hand to one of the questions is my cousin, who's a big fan of this movie, dressed up as Lloyd for Halloween, where she built arms that held a boombox.
Oh my god, amazing.
Her comment was, in the future, does Corey realize that maybe she likes women and stop being obsessed about Joe? My comment was that she just switched to being obsessed with Joe from Facts of Life.
Yeah. Well, it took me like the second or third time we went back to her like room to realize that Joe was like splattered all over her walls. She had cutouts of him and these like larger than life like posters of Joe. And then it said like Joe with a heart. It was like, I thought they were just like punk bands or something. It looks very like teenage girl bedroom, but then you realize it's all Joe.
It's pretty wild.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Joe is the brother from Gattaca, correct?
I think so.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
He's a similar personality.
Corey was definitely based on a real person named Corey that was actually obsessed with someone named Joe. He was from Gattaca.
Cool. Well, we learned that Lloyd Dobler's obsessed with Diane Court. She's a brain and there's no way that he can date her. And of course, every time we cut back to these girls, we're getting like exposition about
a lot of dialogue,
fast dialogue.
The edits in this movie are wild.
It's a lot of editing.
It's a lot of editing and it's a lot of like, I don't know enough about movies to really like to understand like what they would normally do, but it's like, whoa, they are not catching you up to like this time jump or even the spatial jumps. It's really interesting.
Yeah. There's like that one series of scenes where Diane's talking to her dad and it cuts like, and you're like, her outfit keeps changing. Is this at the same
day?
They're
in like the same space. Right. Yeah. It's so
interesting. It's like him just trying to convince her for several days in a row, I guess, to ditch Lloyd. Also, the way I remember this movie, the dad was this like deadbeat who like wouldn't get off the couch. And I was like, that must be a completely different movie that I imagined. Or is there a movie like that with like a teenage girl and a boy and there's a deadbeat dad? Anyway, I was like, this dad is not acting like that.
Thinking like She's All That, where it's the
or not
cool
another
guy.
Teen movie. Not another teen movie kind
of heightens.
I'm saying
maybe
She's All That
one of those
situation.
Yeah. I don't know.
I do. I mean, I will say like all of these characters, I mean, I wonder if your mind's going there because like you keep expecting like something a little more higher or lower. Like it's like, where is anybody? Like no one is really great except for, you know, like our introductor, it said, Ione Skye. I mean, like she's pretty. She's pretty much on a pedestal. But like, no one's really great. No, there's not a villain,
Yeah.
really. There's not a ton
I
of
enjoyed that. Yeah.
tension. Yeah, like
Yeah.
it took me a really while, a really long time to understand. Like, oh, this is the plot. Like,
Right.
there's nothing else. Like, there's no other friend.
No.
I mean, I guess Corey, but she's in it so little that you don't really internalize.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the most dramatic thing that happens,
I mean,
I would
London
say.
sort of becomes this like pivot point, right? That everything is drawn off of,
Yeah.
like, but even the dad didn't hate Lloyd right away.
He's back and forth. He's like,
No.
I don't know. I guess do whatever you want. Love is great. Who knows? I'm going to jail. Who knows? Do what you follow your heart. Also, don't be dumb. But yeah, I mean, he's very reasonable. You know,
Yeah.
no one's a, yeah, it's really interesting.
I know. I know. It's weird that there's not a lot of conflict. Okay, so I was like, what city is this in? And then
Astoria? That's what I
I
thought.
thought it was a story too, because that sort of the view of the houses, but then they give you like the welcome to Seattle sign, and I
Yeah.
was like, okay, that's nice of them. Thank
I
you.
read that it was also filmed in LA, which at times you're like, yeah. Like
I, yeah.
it was
There's
giving
I got
all the
the LA
green.
vibe, and then I
Me
would see
too.
like very Seattle stuff. And oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Lloyd's Dobler's apartment felt like it was in LA for some reason to me versus.
Totally.
But they're all headed to graduation, and Lloyd Dobler's like 19. I remembered that. I remembered him being older. I was thinking like, oh, you don't graduate high school 19, but he'd lived abroad. His parents are in the military, and so
I don't know. I guess
school
something
got
fell
messed
through.
up.
I don't know. It
He
is
spent a year
interesting.
just backpacking Europe. I don't
I
know.
don't know.
Yeah.
We learn later that he's back with his sister because to finish school, I guess, in the States, but he's been in and out of town.
It seems like she needs help too. So there's a lot of that backstory that they
Yeah.
don't really go into of like,
Which
right,
I
like,
enjoy, you know,
yeah.
just sort of like
Yeah.
painted it on there, and we can let our brains fill in
Yeah, like what happened to her baby daddy?
TIM. I loved
TIM.
him. I loved him just spelling it. It's
I'm
like,
not
I'm not
TIM.
TIM. I think because like, he didn't want like the little boy to know. It was very cute.
So Diane's got a, she's practicing her speech in the car. And then we get to graduation and we have Tom just screaming the greatest love of all.
Loved
Oh my
it.
God. I loved this too. And everybody is
With
like
so much
into it.
energy.
So
Yeah.
into it.
Like everybody's into everything. Like they weren't like overly into it, but it
Yeah.
reminded me of what movie were we watching where that like math class was it Better Off Dead where like the people at math like
Yeah.
love the teacher and like were
Yeah.
so bummed because they didn't have any homework. It was like I feel like these like people in the stands were given the same direction of like
I
we
know,
really
like the dad loved it. They were all like, yeah, what a great
yeah.
guy, this guy. And like, why was he singing this at graduation? It just,
No one
was he
stopped
like
him.
the
Who gave him
dumbest
the
guy in the class?
floor?
Like the dumbest
Right.
guy gets to do whatever they want, and then they have the valedictorian
Who
that does a speech.
knows? It was a cappella, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wild.
Also, I love an amphitheater. I love like an outdoor,
Yeah.
like amphitheater graduation setting. Very 10 Things I Hate About You. That's of course that one's like, you know, the biggest outdoor football thingy, but this
Oh,
is more
right.
like football thingy. Is that what they're
Yeah,
called? It's a
it was
football
football
thingy.
thingies. Yeah, I was
Yeah.
wondering like how much use they actually get out of that
Right in
amphitheater.
Seattle. I
It's yeah,
know.
As
It's
someone
just
who
like,
lives in a very rainy climate,
yeah.
Not a
Oh,
lot of
I see what you
amphitheaters here.
mean. But that other
Yeah.
amphitheater, that one from 10 Things I Hate About You, is also just in Tacoma, or it's like
Yeah.
outside of Seattle. It is for real.
Oh, it is for real.
Yeah,
I
we
see.
visited it. So anyway, I don't know how much use they get out of it. I guess they do. So she gives her speech and, you know, she says, I've glimpsed our future and all I can say is go back. And people are like, whoa.
Goes out of there. Yeah, John
Or,
Mahoney laughs hysterically.
yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great joke, I've got to say.
She also,
No.
I mean, we don't have to get in the weeds of this, but like she, I think, told a different joke in the car. Like she built it up and then she like skipped over something. I think she didn't say that she was taking college classes. Like she didn't build it up the same way either. It's like, oh, she
Yeah.
like skipped kind of the crux of the joke. Like they're not gonna know. They don't know
Yeah.
how hilarious it is.
I think in general it wasn't the greatest speech in the world.
No,
They
but people
listed out,
loved it.
yeah,
She
what
didn't have
they
a lot of
listed.
energy. She was kind of like a little dazed giving it. Yeah.
A little sleepy.
Because being scared. The principal like announces her like classes of history, like oceanography, creative writing, and definitely did not mention speech writing or giving speech.
Totally. I know.
But it was very 1989. All those parents with those camcorders, those sort of like on the shoulder camcorder, very popular in the late 80s.
That shot felt very much like a John Hughesian shot. Like, look at what's happening and the boing. Like,
boing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple of those scenes in this movie, but I think Cameron Crowe knows how to rein that impulse in a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so too.
Diane's dad gives her a car that she doesn't know how to drive.
Oh my gosh.
Like a very 80s looking stick shift car. Yeah. And so then we kind of get introduced to Joan Cusack. And what is the little kid's name? Do we know?
We do.
I can't remember it now. It's like Walter.
He just had this precious little mullet. And I didn't remember him at all from this story, but he's so cute.
Very cute.
Very charming, not an annoying kid actor, does very funny little things. So I enjoyed that as like a thing. But Joan Cusack, you know, she seems tired. She's
I know. I do wish she was in this movie more. I when I saw her so early on, I was like, yes, she's the sister. We're going to see all the time. And usually she's just kind of like yelling from another room.
She's not even like billed very high when you like look up the cast. It's like
she was uncredited when the movie actually came out.
Oh, why?
She probably was just like giving, like bringing John Cusack a soda, and then they're like, oh, Joan, can you read for
bring him a soda?
Bring a kid as well, you know.
Yeah, totally. Throw him in. Probably her real kid.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is the dad has gotten Diane a ring, but I thought he said it was like her mother's. Like, I thought there was a whole story about the mom dying.
Yeah,
and then
there was. I thought the mother was dead. No, he wasn't. But there was something about it being the mother's.
He did say something like, it's the only thing I kept from your mother, or it's the only thing I got back from your mother. Something like that.
And he takes it out of that like sort of Asian looking box that he's also keeping a lot of cash in, which we'll see later. Is that where he gets it from? I don't know. And he gives it to her.
Yeah. What a wild storyline for him. I guess I was reading, and Phil, I don't know if you read it too, it was part of the IMDb facts, that Cameron Crowe like saw like a father and daughter out one time and just realized like, what if that father had committed a crime, or like started to like fantasize about that. And that's kind of what this movie, like that was the seed for this movie. Like, of course there's other elements brought in, but the whole thing is like, what if this wonderful relationship was true and the father had committed a crime? Like, how would they navigate it?
Yeah, I think Nora was reading that fact while we were watching the movie, and it's just the smallest amount of like kernel. Like, he saw a kid dad.
Yes.
Not even like the dad like holding a gun or like with ski mask on. It was just like, nope, just that's where my brain went.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it speaks to like in the mid 80s, like the rarity of seeing just a father and a kid. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it is an interesting,
And I know we can get into it more, but like, he's not a full villain. I mean,
no, not at all.
You know, like that place that he's running is like pleasant and fun. Yeah. And all of the folks that live there seem to be very well taken care of and enjoying themselves. Except for the fact that they let Lloyd Dobler run a cocoon movie night. But other than like, it seems like a nice place to be. I mean, I understand he's stealing money from them.
And he's extorting. I mean, I kind of like zoned out a little bit once we get into the like office.
They don't explain it a lot.
Talking about, okay.
It's very
so he's
obtuse.
Just meaning like he's maybe charging more than he should, or he's like literally stealing their valuables, or
I think when they die he's like taking more money, or he's like telling the parents or the kids or the whatevers that like there's less money available than there is, and he's taking like money off the top in liquidating it into cash and then buying jukeboxes and
cars. Stealing their jukeboxes, you know.
Right, exactly.
I mean, frankly, if the structure is, I will give you have my whole bank account while I'm here, and then when I die, you have to give the money back to my kids. Like, fool me once, you know? Like, who is signing up for this?
Well, home. It's a nice place to be. Looks nice. I'd like to live there.
Yeah, I mean, the whole ski, I don't know if you guys saw the movie I Care a Lot with
a little bit. I saw half of it. Yeah, with Rosamund
Blanking on the
Pike.
Woman. Yeah, Rosamund Pike, and it's the exact same scheme except she's very much not a nice person.
And she's like the conservator. Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's true. It's like the same, like they need somebody to basically be the guardian of this money and of the estate. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we can get into that more, but let's see. You know, there's so many like little scenes here.
Little
I like
lines
the scene where,
as well. Yeah,
where Lloyd is doing karate with his nephew on the porch. And then, or not karate, kickboxing.
Kickboxing. Oh, although they use the same dojo as Karate Kid. So yeah, it's fun. We'll
connect. And the kid who I think this character's name is Jason.
The little kid.
Has the little Karate Kid bandana as well in that scene.
Okay. And so then Lloyd calls Diane's house. And again, this is like the dad is like, okay, sure. Like, I'll take a message. There's nothing.
No. I mean, this is the thing. Like, I think because it's shot around the same time period as a lot of John Hughes movies, and it's a little bit of a cast overlap, I suppose. You just keep on waiting for people to be so mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So mean and angry, and adults are the worst. Or just and life
distrust,
is terrible.
Distrust from both, because I think both are giving such positive energies in that phone call of just like, John Cusack's not just like, I instantly want to get off the phone and not talk to you. He's trying to talk to him. The dad's like, I think you should leave a message.
I know. Yeah. And I mean, it is brave.
Dad, is it a home phone they have or is it an early cell phone? When the dad answers the phone, it's like a flip phone and it's like not connected to a cord. I don't know. To show that they just have more
home
money.
Phone. Yeah.
But it's flipped open. It wasn't just like a cordless. Anyway, it seems more state of the art.
Fancy,
I think it's to the point of the FBI agent or whatever later being like, does your dad have fancy things for no reason?
A lot of rugs.
Lot of flip phones.
Although it feels like they do go out of their way to like, that house is so cluttered. Oh my gosh. They've got like the jukebox in the middle of it and then just like stacks and stacks of books and records. They have like 3 to 4 different globes.
That's what you buy when you gotta put your, they're all full of cash.
Globes, yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
So we learned Diane has got the fellowship to London. Also, there's like this scene where the dad is like going to work. He's like driving to work with like, Ricky, don't lose a number. And I thought he was going to get in a car accident. I was like, this is where the dad turns into like a guy on the couch for the rest of the movie.
Not that kind of movie.
But it's not that kind of movie. Just
nothing. It's too terrible. It's not,
yeah. So Ione Skye calls Lloyd Dobler back and she's like in her little bathrobe and she calls him. But she doesn't.
Realistic, I feel like. Go
a
ahead.
Lot of the conversations I feel have like this realism. I mean, it's sort of a Cameron Crowe thing,
right?
Yeah. Like she's just like, do I know you? Do we know each other? Which I thought was really funny.
It's such an interesting thing to do. It's a very like, oh my gosh, what is it with Ethan Embry?
Can't hardly wait.
Yeah, kind of, right? Of this, it's like urgency of like, okay, it's the last day of school. I know. Ask out my crush, you know. But he's not like sweaty. He is sweaty through a lot of this movie, but he's not like metaphorically sweaty about
Never
it.
Never have
know?
Any two people been sweatier than in the back of that car.
That's
the sweatiest scene I've ever seen.
Although that's realistic too. I was like, anyway.
Well, I have a point. I have something that I don't feel as realistic about that, but we'll get to it. It's not about the sweat though.
Okay.
So she agrees to finally go to this like end of summer, end of school year party with the guy who is 22.
Well,
this is like the mascot.
I'm very confused
Eric
on his
Stoltz,
age because
right?
they've Eric been like, Stoltz. He's been doing it for years, throwing this party. It's like, how old is this guy?
Yeah. And he gets like attacked at the party, like, and like defeathered.
It's just like a Wicker Man sort of thing that it's,
But
that
because like
they say
he was
that that's tradition too.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
When we go into this party, I call it, I'll just back up. So Lloyd goes to pick up Diane and he like overshares about himself with the dad and the dad's like, okay, great.
Yeah.
And like doesn't care also that she doesn't come home until like the morning because she's
like,
calls
I'll
him.
Be home before dawn or something. I'm like, what? Like, can you imagine? You're like 17. If I call my parents at 17 and be like, I'll probably be home before the sun comes up. Like, no way. They'd be like, just spend the night wherever you are. Don't drive at 5:30 in the morning after
also,
doing whatever.
She wasn't home by then.
I know. She wasn't. Yeah. It's weird.
She did call him from the party on the high heel phone. To be fair,
she said which, it. Yeah,
you know, to check
she's
in.
She's also like dressed like a bride, right? Did you guys like?
She's dressed like a bride who's like leaving her wedding, like in the 80s.
Yes, totally. Getting up, running to get on that plane to Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's so the whole sort of like she's socially awkward because she's been in studying the whole time and. She doesn't really know how to dress for a party. Also, did you guys notice that this kegger was announced at graduation?
Like, yes.
The singer's like, hey, and by the way, seven kegs is the party.
Yeah. Ooh. And the principal's like, I love it. I
but
love
then
it.
Lilith from, you know, Cheers shows, like, the guidance counselor's at the party.
I'm Mrs. so confused Evans. By that. So confused by that scene.
BB Newirth.
BB Newirth's like film debut, apparently. And her and John Mahoney were in Frasier together. So this is kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. But like, does she live next door or is she going to this party?
She drove and parked at the party.
Yeah.
And didn't go in.
And
she's
and
doing
gave,
keg
like,
stands later.
Guidance counselor advice to Lloyd Dobler
it's
outside.
So wild. Yeah.
I called this party mullets and popcorn because it like it was just like so much popcorn.
What
and
was
so
with
many
the popcorn?
Mullets. I don't know. There was just, like people throwing popcorn every which way, which is so messy. And Lloyd is the key master, which again, I don't really understand the rules of that because he got rid of all the keys.
Yeah.
Does that mean everybody drove home drunk?
Well,
or everybody
Jeremy
was assessed to be not drunk?
Or the guy with the flock of seagulls hair?
Well, there was the... Nora pointed this out that he hid some keys, like for I think Jeremy Piven's character, he just hid his keys.
Oh, Jeremy
but and so he didn't count that was a key that he still had. So he may have just hid 30 sets of keys.
And how are they going to find them? Does he remember? I can't remember where my own keys are.
Makes a little
not
mouse.
Hiding them.
It's I don't. It was confusing.
So. Jeremy Piven is. Wild. He's just like bouncing off of people.
Wild.
He's wild.
Yeah, I didn't need that. And that energy really stressed me out.
It did.
Like, have you ever been? I've definitely had the somebody getting overly excited and jumping on you and like really kind of hurting you. It's very stressful. I don't like it.
And then we have these women, the Greek chorus women, who are just like in a different party altogether, like talking about Joe so much. And Joe has a girlfriend, it sounds like. Well, it is. And then he's like willing to break up with her to get back with Corey.
She almost goes for it, which
almost.
This scene has like so many cameos. I'm trying to pull it up. I think
a lot of like celebrity kids, right? Were
right.
you reading that? Because like the guy in the bathroom is Barbara Streisand's child.
Right. And then like that Joe's girlfriend is, I'll look it up. He's like some famous musician's daughter. Like,
I think Ione Skye herself is somebody, a celebrity's daughter. And like Pamela Adlon is as well. And
Ione Skye is Donovan's, like a British singer's daughter. Here we go. David Lee Roth's daughter, Chyna Phillips.
Oh yeah, Chyna Phillips, Joe's, right.
Joe's
it girlfriend. Was kind of like, yeah, real like who's who of like Nepo babies at this party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Did you already say this? I'm so sorry. I looked away. Were you talking about Flock of Seagulls hair and who his parents are?
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand.
Streisand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guessed that on a whim.
Oh, you did?
What?
Because Jeff said, oh, this is whatever his dad, what's his dad's name? Richard. And I said, Elliot Gould. And I said, oh, and he said, do you know who his mom is? And I said, Barbara Streisand, like out of nowhere. I just thought that he kind of looked like her. And I was right.
Yeah.
He
kind of does. His character was really interesting. Like, they kind of just like pick it up and drop it. Right. I was like,
yeah.
I didn't really get it. He just got too drunk. He was too self. He was just like kind of dorky, I suppose, and just like didn't have a lot of self confidence.
It broke his brain that Lloyd was going out with Diane Court, and so and that just set him into a tailspin where he's just in front of the mirror drinking.
Yeah, I know. It's
he was like the pep world talking is himself.
Not real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
It's like it gives me hope, I guess. But it's an interesting, I know we've talked about this. Like Diane Corr is not necessarily popular, but just very smart, successful, like the golden child. And then like yeah. Lloyd is not like, I don't know. It was an interesting thing they were playing with because people were like, oh, would she date somebody like him? And it's like, who is like him? Who,
I think where just that fall he, in the hierarchy? Well, I don't think they know him very well, but he's also like not planned out. Like he doesn't have a lot of like future thinking. He's right. just like living yeah. in the moment.
But kind of when he shows up at the party, like everyone's like, Lloyd, like he seems yeah. popular and everyone likes him. And we don't ever see any scenes of people like, oh.
Right. They don't dislike him. He's yeah. just very neutral, like but 19. Not motivated.
He does seem right. more like an adult than some of them.
Someone who could become a assassin later in life.
I know. Totally.
Here's a question I have from our youth. How come sometimes when you're putting in a cassette, you put it in upright, and sometimes you put it in upside down? Why did they make players that you did both with?
Isn't that just the different side of it?
No. Yeah.
No. Sometimes you put it in like thicker side down.
Oh, on I know
some,
what you mean
on
now.
Some cassette players, and on some you put it in upside down, where like the little ribbon would be at the top.
I always thought ribbon at the top, but
it depends on the player. It's just.
But that's what I mean. That's yeah, so yeah. interesting. Like, why yeah. did they make it different? Why wasn't it universal?
Standard. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think I definitely had on my dad's and my Chevy Astro van, I had to wedge something in there to make tapes play properly.
Just
and
like this.
It ate wild. A few. Yeah.
Oh, remember when your tape would get eaten and you're just like, and it's just over.
The pencil. No.
Well, yeah, gotta... but sometimes they get crinkly and then I don't know.
Yeah. I got really good at uncrinkling those and you'd hear that for the rest of its life or yeah. there would get like knots in it and you'd have yeah. to like carefully unknot them. Yeah.
How would it get knotted? It's so funny.
But it's also so insane still that music is on that. Do you know what I mean? Like when people are like, oh, I don't understand how digital works. It's like, are you telling me that you understood how a ribbon on top of that tape you would play, you twist it and then it plays music like a fucking like music box? The same with a record. Like, oh yeah, the grooves are such. It's like, yeah. fuck off. Like,
I know, I can't think about records too much because it confuses me. I don't
whatever,
understand
man.
It.
Yeah, you had me at records and television. Like, yeah. I don't know. Ridiculous.
Mind blown. Yeah.
I know, and if you don't have a record player like hooked up to a speaker, but you can kind of hear it like quietly coming out of the,
mm-hmm.
it's so wild.
It's insane.
It's insane.
No, it's like, oh my gosh, we just have too much time on our hands. I mean, thank goodness they invented them, but that's insane. I know.
And we're not even all on pot right now of just being like, yeah, records, yeah. man. They're so tiny.
Oh my God. I know.
Oh gosh. So they drive, right, Jason Gould home, and it's the morning now. And so they're at the 7-Eleven. And then she's like, we can walk from here.
I don't know what. I mean, I get that. I would say that, but I've yeah. never seen someone.
Katie would say that, and then it would be 3 miles. And you're like, yeah. Katie,
I mean,
you
it makes
didn't
sense.
Tell us it yeah. was 3 miles uphill to your house.
Right. But I don't understand why someone in a movie would do that because they used to have to walk back to
their
car.
They just had their car. Then he has to walk back to the car
right.
by himself.
At the 7-Eleven parking lot. It is interesting. Yeah.
You don't leave your car there for a long period of time.
And I definitely knew that glass thing. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're going to come back to this glass breaking thing.
I see it. Idiot.
I know. And then he like pushes it away, spreads it around. Let's go a little bit to your left. And it's a pretty low bar, right? It's like,
yeah.
I was going to traipse through a full on broken bottle and he called it out for me. So I'm going to marry him. Like, well.
But then she also calls him a basic bitch.
She does.
What do I think? I'm so curious about this. She calls him basic. I've never dated anybody so basic.
Has she ever dated anyone?
Mean? Well, like, I mean, obviously basic has this connotation now, but I was trying to figure out, like, does she mean like average?
Yeah.
She probably does, right?
I guess so, but is she that above average? I mean, her intelligence is quite smart, but like, I get it, but like, is he doesn't seem stupid. He's not an idiot.
Maybe no, she just means kind of chill. Maybe she means like so like low key. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
She knows it's an insult because she says it later. True. Like, I called him basic.
He's wearing a North Fleece or a North Face fleece.
I know.
Black.
I know.
And, yeah.
I know.
drinking a pumpkin spice latte.
Mm-hmm, oh my yeah. God. Whatever passes for basic these days. I have no idea.
Either.
Those things.
Then they have this like really awkward hug. It's like really intense. They haven't like smooched, right? They just
they did not smooch. It's just T-Rex arm hug. It's basically what they did.
Yeah.
Then like immediately she invites him to like a family dinner at her house with like.
And then he comes up to her bedroom. Yeah. And like helps her pick an outfit on. And he's like, second date. I'm like, I know. Yeah. I mean, he's 19. I mean, he is kind of an adult, but I'm like, this for high school is wild.
Yeah.
And the way she was doing it was holding just an arm out with a dress is like implying that she was naked. Wasn't right. She
but
wasn't.
She had a dress
but
on.
Like,
yeah. She had a clothes on the whole time. So funny. I know. Like a just full like Amish.
He's at your closet. Mm-hmm.
I got that vibe as well.
Went to the closet that he's standing, took in three dresses to the bathroom, and then like showed him outside the door like the Muppet Show. Like it was so weird.
I know. So weird. So she tells this. They're at the dinner party, and there's this bonkers, bizarre story. about her freaking out on an airplane and the air marshals. I them having to turn the plane around.
Yeah.
And air marshals coming on and like taking them off, and they're all just like laughing, like this is hysterical.
Well, and then there was a record, and then it's like, but there's more. I'm like, oh God, really? And then there's like,
oh, right,
there's a recording artist. Record. Yeah, a recording artist
on the plane
that wanted to come to their house, which is definitely the man from A Trench Coat in fame, by the way. Like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
He comes to their house and they record her scream, and she's on commercials. And I don't know if you guys noticed the woman that was at the table when they told the story. This woman could not have been less annoyed. Like, she was, or more annoyed. She was so annoyed at the story. She's like eye rolling, like, oh God, this story again. I'm like, is that my character? I think I just focused on the wrong person that was making a different choice than everybody else. But yeah, so that's why she can't fly. Doesn't want to fly.
Such a bizarre story, though.
Such it was a story. Weird. I mean, it's not just like I'm scared of flying. It's like
I thought that the babies recorded. And then like her whole logic of like, babies.
They knew something.
The babies knew something. But I didn't. So the babies were safe. So they let babies on the plane, and that means it's safe. But the baby started crying. I thought they were all given a message. She's like 8 years old. And the father and daughter just stand up to tell the four person dinner table. This is a really interesting story.
Very weird.
I feel the story needed to be more
one way or the other. Something
funnier. To be a dinner table. This just makes like I would tell people about the people telling this story, but it's not like if I was at a dinner party, I'd be like, wow, this is a very entertaining. I'm just like, these people are nutso.
Yeah, it's nutso. And then like the most interesting part of that story is, and then I was recorded by a recording artist and like my scream is on commercials. I'm like, which commercials? What? Like what?
And like movies.
Audience? How much money did you make?
Like every now and again, I just hear myself screaming.
Is it like the Wilhelm
she's
scream
never screamed.
She
doesn't raise her voice. She's never screamed in this movie. Like I don't.
It's wild. She's never taken directions from babies.
It feels like that was like something that happened to Cameron. It felt like it was something else that was just like integrated into this.
Yeah. And Cameron Crowe was like, I got to tell this story.
And then whoever made the Final Destination movies heard this story and then created those movies out of it. I don't know.
Right.
And then Lloyd gets asked what he's going to do. And that's when he does this monologue about the I don't want to do anything bought, sold, or processed, et cetera, et cetera. Don't want to be in the military.
Yeah. But I mean, also, like, they'll just stare at him like he's, like, absolutely Fruit Loops. But it's like, I don't know. He just graduated high school. He came back. He's, like, babysitting his nephew. His parents are in the military. Like, I don't know. Give him, like, a day. Like,
yeah. Kind of reminded me of like Kip from Napoleon Dynamite, though, just being like taking
his
dojo classes.
But he's like 35. Like, I think age, it was like, what do you want him to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very typical like senior in high school answer from like a smart kid. It's like, you know, there's just too much consumerism in the world. So I'm just going to dedicate myself to not buying or selling or making and form a commune.
Right.
So then just like, because this cuckoo bananas, the doorbell rings and it's the IRS, just happy dinner time IRS visit to be like, hey, dad, you've been doing bad things and we've been watching you. And
these two are just dressed like the weasels from Roger Rabbit.
Yes, very much so.
They're just gonna come in and take you. And the one guy I really recognized, but I didn't look it up, the slick back guy I've seen in like a million.
Yeah, movies. He's been in a bunch of stuff. I think he was in The Sopranos. Just a bit, a character actor and stuff like that. But I wonder what their working hours are. It's like towards the end of this dinner. So it's like 9 o'clock on like a Friday. And they're like, well, IRS never sleeps. We got to go do this. Not.
Today is
more
day.
Intimidating. I'll tell you what.
So the way they presented it, though, was like he had tax issues. Sorry, that there was something going on with his taxes. Right. But
Like you didn't file. I just am always so surprised when people treat institutions of authority like this. Like I would be like, what do you need? Anything. Come into the house. I'll tell everybody.
I have guests.
Can you imagine? I have guests. Like F off. It's so wild to me. The way people speak to police officers or just like IRS is like, woof. Anyway. Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, then I have the next thing is like IRS. Oh no. And then immediately we're having a lunch with the mother.
Meet the mom.
Right? We meet the mother.
Which I just did not think was going to happen because I thought she had died.
Yeah. Although we do get the story that Diane was meant to, like she had to choose which parent. Like,
right.
Ugh.
In court. Yeah. So Diane Court says court a lot, which is weird. And then she shows her father and you're like, oh, wait, what's up with the mother? And then the mother at the end is like, you know, I still have your bed ready if you want to come. It's like, it's been like 15 years.
No, it's been five. Yeah, it was a lot shorter than I realized.
Yeah,
that's right. She does say that at the end.
She was like 12 or 13.
Because she was 13. And then this actress is like 7, which is crazy. And then I guess we meet the stepfather. But the whole thing is
Diane is just a boyfriend. Yeah.
Diane is trying to convince the mother to say something nice about the father. And this is where we kind of get this complexity of like, okay, who is this father? Like, is he like John Mahoney? Like, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Anyway, it was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. And the mom looks a lot younger than the dad. Like,
yeah.
She married a papa.
Yeah. A suave papa, but
a suave papa. Some kind. And then like we see like Diane and Lloyd on the phone and
she accuses him of ageism.
Yeah.
Because he used to work at a smorgasbord and he doesn't like watching old people eat of him. Which is noticeable, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, maybe I've just been thinking about it totally wrong. I don't know. He's open mind. And then we get Lloyd presents Cocoon, which his presentation of this, I suppose, is just him writing that on a chalkboard before pressing play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good work. Solid work.
And like that one man is just like not having it at all.
I want to get up.
This ruffian.
Let him go. I don't know.
Just let him go to his room. Who cares? But no, we're watching this now. Like, ugh. For like the, it seems to be the only movie. Because Lloyd says something like, I'm presenting this because I heard you guys really like this movie. It makes you happy. It's like, good to watch movies that make you happy. Oh my God. Because I don't think Lloyd watched it.
I don't cotton to the Gutenberg. I'm getting out of here.
I just didn't understand why this scene was needed. I mean, just to show, I guess, that he's like, I am open to old people. I don't know.
Sort of a pseudo save the cat scene,
yeah,
I think.
A little bit. Like, he's a nice guy, even though he didn't want to spend time with this group of people. He's willing to be open-minded, and then it's fine. And actually, he doesn't dislike old people. He just didn't want to do it. I really thought they were setting it up so that Lloyd was going to take over the senior home, and he did not. Because like he doesn't know he's going to do with his life. John Mahoney's going to jail.
Movie.
Diane's going to London.
Yeah, what happens to all those people?
I know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Say something like they have to shut it down. They're just like, and that's like totally shut down. I thought the little Roger Rabbit. And this is where they decide that they're friends with potential, which is interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. Is that a really well-known phrase?
No.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah.
It's almost the opposite of friends with benefits. It's friends with potential.
It's
kind of fun.
I guess, I don't know. Where would that sit in? Like, there's the friend zone, of course. I guess that's friends.
Well,
without
I mean, pretty soon after that, he teaches her to drive and then they start making out all over the place.
Yeah.
So
they get crazy
like
real
not
quick.
Officially, like, they're not officially romantic yet, but they could be. They are quick. Yeah.
So then they're like making out all over the place. And then there's like a montage and then they end up in the back seat of the car next to the ocean, which is where I have the problem in this scene.
Oh, let's hear it. Yeah.
Well, the question is, there's no ocean in Seattle. I mean, there's a sound in Seattle, but the waves were very ocean-esque. They were not sound waves.
That's true. That's true.
So I Googled it.
Like, did they drive to like the Olympic National Park or something?
Well, right. It's like 3.5 hours from Seattle to get to a beach.
They got
to
make sure the dad doesn't find them.
So I guess my question is, did they drive to an ocean to have sex in their car, or where is this beach?
Or do the waves and the sound look like that ever? I don't know.
I don't believe so. They were very oceany, very crashy.
No, you're right.
And they made a point. It's probably LA, but beach, but they made a point of showing that. Yeah.
It looks very like Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead kind of date.
The farm.
Yeah.
They didn't show up till like the next morning. So, I mean, they had time to drive to the beach, doink, and then drive back. So,
and they're very sweaty and very hot. And
then also bothered, which I feel like is realistic, because once you get really like doing anything, once you get really sweaty outside and then you stop doing that thing,
I don't think he was actually cold. I think he was just so nervous, intense, excited.
Oh
yeah. He was. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering too. I was like, why are they dwelling on this?
That was the first time he had sex, right?
Yeah.
I understood. Was it the first time she did? That's what I was.
I would think so. She doesn't seem like.
She seemed to be more like comfortable than he did.
She's
like
worldly,
to know kind of what was going on. Yeah. She probably read a bunch of books about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad is upset, not because she comes in the morning, but because she never called him
I mean, you know, like if your kid's just missing all night. And
yeah,
I thought he was like, I thought this argument was so realistic where she's like, you still live in this house. Like, just don't have me. I don't care what you do. Just don't have me calling like the police and hospitals at 3:30 in the morning. I mean, anyway, I thought it was. And
yeah,
I like that he never became like, well, you're grounded for the rest of your time here. And like, she has to break out or whatever.
Yeah. But and he does try to convince her to break up with Lloyd and sort of like focus on herself. Give him a pen.
Well, did you all get the I know. Like he says that like it's a really good idea too.
Yeah, he's very genuine about it.
I know. Did you all get the movie's title at this point?
Yep. I definitely have drink.
They said it
down.
Twice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just have it here. It's like, yeah, you can say anything to me. Which is that why is that where the movie's title comes from? I
believe so.
Yeah. It's a very random.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say
it's like say anything, like she can say anything to him, but then he didn't tell her the truth. Like if Cameron Crowe is thinking about this as more of like this is a movie about a father and daughter relationship where the father has committed a crime. Like, is it that? Is it just like the honesty between these two people?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I also constantly had in my head the James song, Say Something, Say Something, Say Something, Anything. And I was sure that this was on the soundtrack as well, but it is not.
A lot of good things on the soundtrack, but not
that. Yeah. Cameron Crowe movie.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Lloyd is teaching kickboxing at the dojo, and Diane calls and she's like, we need to talk. And then he's like driving around, but not looking at the road at all. He's just looking at her. His face is away from the road and they're kissing while he's driving.
I definitely had a note of that kissing while driving. I was like, no.
Dangerous. So very dangerous.
Dangerous. Is this before or after he writes that letter that he, or the card that he shares?
After, right.
The card. They're in that guitar, the guitar store, which I guess like Cody works there. Somebody works there. Probably. Or they're just hanging out and it's like closed and they're just like the only ones hanging out there. But like he reads this letter and they're like, what does it say? What does it say? They're like, I'll always be there for you. You have my heart, Lloyd. And then they're like, that letter is the best letter. Like they lose it. Like, have you ever been sent a letter like that? I'm Lloyd, get ready. Buckle up. Cause you're about to get married. What? It is
eight
words.
And he thinks she's upset by the letter. That he sent it to her, that she's upset by that. And she also like got it and didn't tell him. She was like, he's like, check your mailbox tomorrow. And he's like, she's like, I already got it. He's like, oh, I thought you would have told me. Like, you would have mentioned that.
I also think she's been like mulling over the idea that of like breaking up with him, but as her dad says. I think she's just very analytical. And like, I know you're not supposed to like speculate on people's position on the spectrum and stuff like that, but I wonder for like characters, can you do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, we don't want to diagnose people, no. but she could be, she, because of her intelligence level and because of her social awkwardness, there maybe could be a propensity towards neurodiversity. You could maybe see something like that.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah, please let us know.
It's someone that has much more. Yeah. Call in. I mean, maybe it's just that she's read everything in a book and hasn't so much experienced it. And she overanalyzes everything in her brain that I think she got this letter and was, oh, my dad made this case. I need to think of this, even though maybe I don't want to, I need to analyze it. Yeah.
Yeah. So she gives him the pen, which, by the way, like, that pen looks like any pen.
I know. I guess I was thinking about that, like in the late 80s, was that like a very nice pen? I mean, like, because pens used to be a bigger deal, like you'd have like monogram before bail bonds ruined, saturated the industry. Like, you know, like you had it, I guess that was like a nice pen.
You would like refill it with ink. It was like you kept it.
Yeah. Right. I guess that was kind of one of those pens. Like it came in a little case, like it's like a watch or
something. I watched the documentary on Q, like the whole conspiracy thing. And there was this whole episode that was all about expensive pens how they were like tracking down who was Q and he. So it's like
wild.
Yeah, used to be a thing, and now it's just people who are into Q are into really nice pens.
Maybe it's like akin to like a Wadi.
No, I think so. I think it is. They can be very, very expensive.
Yeah. And I think I was reading that, like, that's one of the top quoted, or somebody named it as like top 100 movie quotes of all time, is like, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen.
Right.
Where did he say that to himself, or does he say it to the Greek chorus? I can't.
I don't remember.
I think the Greek chorus. Yeah. Anyways.
Probably. So,
Find that, sorry, like so unrelatable. Like, this is such like a movie, like a teenage movie trope where like you're in a bedroom all together and you're just like on your back and you're like, she called me. I love the way she said, you know what I mean? I'm like, I would never share that out loud. Like, that vulnerability to me is wild. Like, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen. Like, I would just be like crying and just
He did.
Down and so
he was
sad.
In the rain crying, you know, standing outside.
Phone booth. Yeah.
Outside of a phone booth, talking to his sister.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I
do love this weird little scene where he decides like he should go off and be with like, the guys that hang out.
Tell me more. Oh my gosh.
These are his real friends, other than, are.
Oh,
John
you mean
Cusack.
His John Cusack's they're John real Cusack. Friends. Yes.
Yeah. Jeremy Piven is his real friend.
Yeah. And so I think they're like all from Chicago or something, right?
Well, that was a wackadoodle little scene that I enjoyed.
Oh my God. And there's like a little kid there that's hanging out. It's like, biatches, biatches, whatever he says. It's like, geez, like really weird.
I like looked down and looked up and I saw that little kid and I was like, what movie is
it? It's not explained. He's just this child. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The dad then goes to this like pawn luggage store. I can't decide what's happening in there. It's like crowded with so many things to buy his daughter luggage. And I thought this was going to be like an offshoot movie where he and this woman get together.
I know. So close.
Yeah. Well, I think they wanted that to happen. And then like his car, I think the whole point is like, he's just unraveling, right? Cause his card was canceled. Cause he's like being investigated. So then he goes home and like cries in the bathroom. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah. Wearing a suit, crying in a bathroom. Yeah.
Really quick before that, I did just kind of appreciate the scene because it's like, card deck got declined. Then the other one, she's like, I'm supposed to keep it, but I'll just give it back to you. And he's like, you can keep it. And she's like, okay, I hope it gets better. And he's like, thanks for being so nice. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
There's a third person in that scene the whole time. There's like another dude watching him like shoot his shot and then also go down in flames because of the car. It's just like,
So then Diane is laying in bed in her tiny shirt, can't sleep because it's nighttime.
Her
bedtime is probably 7 p.m
but it's like dusk. Yes, and I think
is it 7 p.m. or 5 a.m.?
They shot them two scenes were shot very different. Like, they weren't together at all, right?
Yeah.
So they shot the actress doing one, and it was probably, like, on different locations. So, yeah, they didn't get the time as the same. Because it's very dark. She seems to be nighttime, and he's either, like, dusk or dawn.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And he's in a park that is across the street from their house, I guess.
Pull up closer, man.
Right.
Be outside of her window, because otherwise now you're just doing this to everybody.
Yeah, the cone of sound is just going to like eight different houses.
I'd be
probably
so
like
about
eight
this.
Different
I'd
teenage
be so
daughters
about this.
That are just being like.
But of course, earlier we get introduced to the Peter Gabriel in your eyes of it all when they're in the car and she's like, listen to this new song. It's like,
it's a good song. It's a really good song.
Well, I think she's trying to, I guess, like calm him down from having like a panic. I don't know. You know, like I thought he was cold, but I think he was like losing it. Control of his body. Yeah. So it's probably pretty like burned in his memory. And I guess they originally, he had contracted, who was the artist? It wasn't Peter Gabriel. It was Cameron Crowe had contracted people to write a song for this. And he was going to play it, but it was like too on the nose. It was like too much about the movie.
Lloyd Dobler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you.
You know, when your father goes to jail. I guess he used that in a subsequent film, and I can't remember which one it was, but they then switch it out.
The Smithereens was contracted to do it. They also, the actual song playing during that scene when they were filming it was Fishbones Turn the Other Way. Mm-hmm. They thought about using Billy Idol's To Be a Lover, which I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm glad they settled on what they did, because I do think like
it's
pretty iconic. Yeah.
When I had posted about this on the Instagram looking for an introducer, one of my friends wrote me and said that this was she and her husband's wedding song.
That's cool.
And that it was like very formative for them and they loved this movie. And I'd already gotten an introducer, but I was like, wow, that's cool. Like that.
Yeah,
and she showed
right.
me like a wedding gift that they had gotten for each other that had like the lyrics to it. I was like, this is a very romantic.
That's very fun.
Late 80s, early 90s song for sure.
Well, Cameron Crowe actually got it off of a wedding playlist he had made for the movie.
Got it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like when I was a younger gal, like Amy was very, like Amy was saying, is very like, you're like, God, what a gesture. What a gesture. If a man just stood outside my window with a boombox,
so funny.
I know he loved me, let alone just holding it up for so long in his arms.
But what blew my mind, because I didn't remember this, is that she doesn't respond at all. So he holds up for the song, I guess, puts it on replay for a little while. A, that'd be very hard, but then he just leaves.
Yeah.
He just leaves.
My work here is
doesn't
done.
Even know if she heard. Maybe she was even home. I mean.
Yeah, it's not. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Like I would have slept through it.
Yeah.
Maybe, depending on how many times he played it. Because like at first she hears it, it's like kind of far away. And then she also just looks like she's that kind of hot where you can't sleep at all, though. It's just like unbearably warm.
Midnight in the bayou.
Yeah.
The Seattle swamps.
Yeah, just crickets. And
I don't
heat.
Know why it's so hot there, but she's hot. It is summer, I guess. So Diane goes to the IRS. Is this? Do they call her in, or does she just want answers?
I was
she just wants answers.
What was happening? Yeah,
and they tell her. They shouldn't tell her.
The guy's especially because like, she's part of the investigation. I mean,
he's
she's
like I'll level with you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she like works there, right?
Right. It just seems like not appropriate that they would tell a child. I mean, she's 18, but like to tell a child that about her father. And then the guy's like, yeah, look around. Look around your house.
So specific.
Yeah. There's rugs and jukeboxes and rings.
Like a lot of, like a lot
car.
Of, not a normal amount of rugs, but like a lot of rugs.
Not very
when she goes
fancy
back
things,
home,
a lot
this,
of things.
Like the first thing you see is a rug.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have paid attention to at all before because I'm like, people have rugs.
My parents have a rug. I think they've got several. I'm gonna check
so, like,
in on
I have some rugs. I mean, they're not fancy rugs, but either way, it just seems. Yeah. So she confronts the dad and, you know, she's mad at him and he's like, what does he say? He's just like, I'm going to go to the jail. No.
I think she's
but then
like,
there's
no,
like this scene between like the lawyers that are like,
oh yeah,
talking
trying to
on his behalf about him there. Yeah.
A lot of like edits. No.
Yeah. But yeah, he does have a little crazy scene where, I don't know, he's been so put together other than crying in the bathtub. And then he sort of gets in this brief little yelling match. And then a little bit later at the prison, he's a little bit ornery, but
yeah. I mean, I think he was trying to make the case. It's like, it was all for you. Like, I took care of the people. Like, kind of just justifying skimming off the top, I guess, for the greater good of I guess, taking care of her.
That prison, by the way, seems pretty loosey-goosey. I mean,
it should be. It's pretty white collar,
I guess. Yeah. But he's just like outside having a cigarette, and like guests can just come and go.
Do we ever see him smoking before this?
No, I just think he's picked it up in jail. He's so nervous.
Yeah.
But before that jail scene, Diane goes to the kickboxing dojo, and the scene is just peculiar. It's so weird. It's like, she's like, I'm here to see Lloyd. And then that man like her into the room, and he's like, Lloyd. And then he's like, boop, boop, and gets like hit so hard. And then the man like grabs her and like holds her away, like in this weird embrace.
This is Nora's question. It's like, what the fuck was he doing? Just like from seeing this scene of him getting kicked, or I don't know, it just, it was so, the yellow shirted guy, so weird, so weird.
He cops a feel. He's like, just now's my time to hug her. Like, she doesn't need to be hugged. She should just go to Lloyd.
It was so violent. We need,
weird. And she tells him she loves him, and he's bleeding from the nose. First, they reset his nose, I guess. It looks like.
Yeah. Fun times.
Yucky, yuck, yuck.
And then we get the line of like, are you here because you need someone or you need me? Actually, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's
kind of
fun.
So we already talked about the dad in jail, really. Like, and dad's like, Lloyd's not permanent in your life. He's a distraction, FYI. Like, you know. And then Lloyd packs for London, and they get on a plane. The loudest plane I've ever heard in my life.
It was a fun ending with the whole, like, wait, it's going to come on any minute, any minute. Like, bing. It's kind
of
nice.
Supposed to be a little bit of a homage to The Graduate as well, the close-up of them.
Oh, okay. Now, when you're on a plane, you hear that sound. It's usually when you're at cruising altitude, or 10,000 feet or whatever.
When you can unbuckle.
Well, not before you, not the unbuckle, but like when you can like use your approved electronic devices.
Mm. Yeah.
And I guess like, is that a holdover from the like, now you can smoke? That's what they were waiting for, is the like smoke ding. It's like, oh, do you think like the plane took off and then it was just like 10 minutes and then everybody's just like chain smoking on the plane?
Yeah, could be. But I mean,
that would be
they
so
made the
awful.
They pointed out as like all the accidents happen in like the first 5 minutes or last eight minutes of a flight. And so it's, if you make it to the ding, you're set.
Did you guys ever fly in a smoke filled airplane?
No.
Not that I recall.
I didn't fly until I was in high school. So
same.
I flew pretty young. But I guess I kind of remember there being like a non-smoking section possibly.
That's so silly, though.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I mean, it's the same as a restaurant, really. Remember, indoor restaurants would have non-smoking sections.
But not to just be in an airplane.
Well,
like,
airplanes do have a much better like
ventilation. I know. They probably like, yeah. It's possible that I did fly when people were doing that to some extent, but I don't remember it. Yeah.
Oh, that's the movie.
Ding.
Were there any other questions we needed to ask?
The other one I had was, does Lloyd fulfill his kickboxing dreams? I think we agree he becomes an assassin.
An assassin, I know, exactly.
What's he going to do in London that whole time? I guess just hang out.
I mean, well, here's my other question, as for all these, is will these two crazy kids make it?
I don't know. I don't think so. They're so young.
Yeah, they're so young. There's not like a real reason, but it's just they're two intelligent kids, and I just don't think.
Yeah, I think they might just have either a really messy breakup or like a polite, amicable breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll show like him nowhere in between. Like a chart of just the pros and cons.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
How about Hummers, Bummers, and Dummers? Let's start with Bummers. What bums you out?
I think my bummer, we talked about a little bit, but like when they're driving Barbara Streisand's son home, my bummer is how intense Lloyd is driving. Just the like, oh, my house is right here, like screeching tires. And then he like peels off to drive away. And that, I think my bummer in this movie was like anytime it kind of rang like a John Hughes kind of just this like loud, fast indifference to anybody around you, like that kind of driving. That driving didn't match his character, you know? Like he's not like a maniac. Like he would just be like, oh, okay, I'll slow down and come to a reasonable stop in a suburban neighborhood. So yeah, the bum me out.
Teenagers are weird though, so.
They are weird. They are weird.
Speaking of cars, I think one of my bummers will be like giving somebody a gift that they can't use, or like have to learn. Like, it's like, here's a car, but you have to learn to drive stick and I'm not going to teach you.
Right. Yeah. What was the plan?
Yeah. And so then like she had to get Lloyd to teach her around a circle, by the way, which is like, that also kind of bummed me out. Because I'm like, that's the worst.
How dizzy.
So dizzy. And also just like, how is that helpful? Like get out on like, there's plenty of like country roads, it seems, nearby you could go on that didn't have like highways.
A turnabout circle in the front of a senior center.
Yeah. Where it's like dangerous.
A ton of people watching, like all old people that 100% know how to drive a stick shift. Yeah. Because that's all there was.
And yeah, they're just like sitting in their rooms.
Comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't have shifted that early.
Bummed.
Yeah.
Mine is gonna be just, you know, sort of the dad crying in the tub as a father myself. I hope I'm not led to a life of crime and have to hide it from my daughter. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, he brought some of this on himself, and I'm glad they sort of had this element because it's different than other movies, but at the same time it sort of made me sad. But because they did have a great relationship together, and he had to go to jail, that sort of threw a wrench in the relationship.
Yes, it did.
How about dummers?
My dummer is something that we didn't talk about, but
don't steal mine.
The hat that Diane chooses to wear on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Was just like,
that was almost my bummer.
What? And you were flying there from Seattle.
Like, so far. So uncomfortable.
Is so far. And like, even like, be respectful to the people around you. Like, are you trying? Like, you were wearing a Yosemite Sam hat on a plane full of people for like this overnight to Europe. Like, no hat.
She's in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I didn't even think about it, but it's like worse too, because it's probably the time, if they do have any kind of entertainment, it's going to be a television in the front of the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're really blocking people's view. I don't know. It just stressed me out. Like, you imagine sitting next to somebody with a hat like that going to Europe, you wouldn't know what to do.
I just, being so nervous and being so worried, like the last thing I would do is like wear a big fashionable hat. Like, I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah. And from one angle, it kind of looked like, okay, that's like a small cowboy hat. And then she turned, is like, oh no, this is like Puss in Boots. It's like swoops down and it had like flowers.
I completely missed that hat.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was wild. Quite
Go
large.
Back. Go back.
But
and watch
she
it.
Did have that huge flower in her hair at the keg party. When she was wearing the reception wedding dress.
Just really quick, speaking of going back and watching it, I did purchase this movie because it was like 70 cents more to own it versus rent it. So
nice.
If you want to buy it on Amazon, it's on sale right now.
I rewound it to watch to see Pamela Adlon.
Free on Disney?
Euro Disney. I don't know if that's the same as American Disney.
Okay.
Euro Disney has everything.
It actually does, because I think they bought a lot of rights that.
Wow. Yeah,
okay. It's all weird.
I don't think I could get it free anywhere here. I looked into it.
Okay. Yeah.
My dumber is going to be when they're going to graduation, they all put on their cap and gowns when they're at home and like wear it in their car ride over. This polyester hot thing. It's like, costume, bring it with you. It's the quickest outfit to ever put on. It's just like, throw it on, zip it. I mean, yeah. So it's, I don't think there's ever been a graduation where people go to the event
in their cap and gown.
And I say that actually having gone to a college that you had cloth gowns that people wore everywhere. So
wild.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nerds.
I think it's tricky because these are teenagers, so I don't want to, you know, poo-poo on this, but like Lloyd's whole thing of like saying that he and Diane had a first date where they like sat across from each other at a food court and ate, and he's like, that was our first date. We were madly in love, you know, but she like didn't even know it happened.
Yeah.
And then when he's like real sad and he's driving around, he's like, there's the mall where we had our first date. And it's like, oh, Lloyd, You didn't. You just didn't. Yeah. Sorry.
It is such an interesting, like, I think you had said this before, where, like, through a different lens, this is a stalker movie, but John Cusack somehow
pulls it
manages
off.
To bring yeah. to it this, like, non-threatening quirk that it's somehow not, it's, he is just swimming through life and, like,
I know.
It's not about that. It is a real magic trick.
If the soundtrack was like scary and eerie and he was holding that boombox up, like staring at her window, like it could be a completely different
just heavy
movie.
Metal.
I will say when they like Prodigy, when they were like arguing in the car about like he was trying to not have a breakup with him, which is like a familiar feeling when you're just like, oh my god, it's coming out of nowhere and I don't want this to happen. But like there was something about his energy there that became a little more scary. To me anyway, where he's like, I'm a dick. Like he just started to like not make sense, I guess. And that gets scary. Like, this person's like not making sense.
We're
anymore.
Having a conversation, not just, yeah.
Yeah. And then he was like, did your father tell you? Like, whoa, that's like a weird thing to have to respond to. So anyway, that's the only time I saw it being like aggressive. But otherwise, it's kind of amazing how he just kind of neutralizes it.
How about Hummers? I think my Hummer is going to be that little kid.
Yeah.
The little nephew. What's his name?
Little Mullet.
Jason.
Little Jason Mullet. Yeah. Like, I love the little scene where, like, he picks him up and he, like, what does he do? He, like, picks him up and, like, karate chops him into something. Oh, he goes
punches,
like,
he, like, punches
punching
the bag.
Bag. Yeah.
He's like, what do we love? Like,
he was like, oh, yes, that's it. What do we love? Pain. He's just like a little authentic kid actor. Where like kid actors can be very annoying and like not needed, but you know, Joan Cusack was like, you got to grow up and be his uncle and not his friend. And it's like, why? Like, they have a fun relationship. Like, he can take care of him and be his friend too. So yeah, I thought that was a very sweet thing, although I'm sad he abandoned him to go to London. But hopefully Joan Cusack will be
and
okay.
The sister, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
She's single mom in it. That's hard.
I know. I will say it was interesting you mentioned that, because when she said that, it's like, can't you just be his uncle and not his playmate? And it's like, that is what an uncle is, first of all.
Yeah, right?
But they called her out on it pretty immediately. Like, she's just being kind of a jerk and overwhelmed and probably has a lot of reasons to be at her wit's end. But then he just spells out, like, I'm sorry that T.I.M. left you, but I am not T.I.M. Like, I'm here. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess that goes into maybe my Hummer and my, I was going to mention again, just the karaoke in the beginning of the non-asked for graduation leaning into of it all. Well, that karaoke song I loved, and I was laughing out loud how long it went on for. but I think like, just like the yes ending that this movie does with like life and relationships, like it's just like, yeah, people are into it, whatever. And like the realism, like the relationship between the brother and the sister, that's like not, it's not, it's fine. It's good. Like it, and like how he was teasing her about like, remember it used to be fun. I don't know. Like the authenticity and like, there's a genuineness. Is that the genuity? What is the word for it? Genuineness to this movie that I really liked.
My Hummer, it's going to be a stranger one. It's the fact that I no longer have like teenage emotions where I'm going to have to feel the need to drive around and record my inner feelings and thoughts. or, you know, like I just need to go and listen to music and stand in the rain because I need to feel something right now. And I'm just glad I...
That's good. That's a real life.
He's like writing that. He was like talking to Corey on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot. I like, you know, the Corey and the sort of the Greek chorus of that was great. But I'll go of just seeing this and being like, wow, I'm glad I'm not just fueled by hormones and just do not have a handle on what my brain makes me do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about our outfits. Outfits. Katie, I'll start with your outfit. You are 100% Ione Sky today. Not only are you wearing just a t-shirt with nothing else underneath of it or anything, and a large hat with a flower on it, you also have transposed that sort of smile that she has on top of your face, which is very interesting. It's sort of like a Cheshire Cat meets a Joker. And her mom had the same smile, kind of like they both talked sort of in that same affected 80s way. Anyway, great job doing that. It's like a really, it's really good special effect.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just forgot we were going to do this. So, Phil, I really love
Every time.
I love the John Cusack Lloyd trench coat, fancy or
Sure.
non-fancy trench coat that, who wears throughout the movie. And I like that you have that picture of Pamela Adlon, like a sketch that just says almost DC taxation without repression. I don't know.
It's how I roll. Bridget,
Felt like it was half an idea. Whoever made that t-shirt like had some ideas and they
it
couldn't
keeps it
land it.
open-ended, so
Yeah. It
people
feels
can
like a
interpret
first
it how they
draft of a
will.
t-shirt.
Bridget, I see that you have an authentic Fence Boys t-shirt, and it's just all the sort of Greek chorus, and there'd just be women be tripping.
They be tripping.
And
Fence
I'm down with a shirt.
boys.
I think you may want to rethink your hat, which is a very bright red hat that says Joe Lies. And I just think
He does though.
it may be misinterpreted, in
Yeah,
this sort of
Bridget, no.
political
Oh, you're
thing.
right. Ooh, I forgot the
So
being red. It's creepy. Joe
but I still dig
lies.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Corey
it's
made some
before
great
it's
music.
real before it's time.
Well, it's time to talk about whether this phlegm,
Film.
I was
Fimmel.
going to say Fimmel.
flick, and then I was going to say film, and then I blended
Wow.
it, is for real. And when I put the movie on and I saw it was like 100 minutes or something, I was like, oh, that's short. That's like just over an hour and a half. But it felt a lot longer than that, and it was sort of surprising to me. I was like, wow, this movie is long. It's like kind of dragging, and like I didn't remember that. Definitely this I experienced it in a different way than I did when I was younger, which was like much more romantic when I was younger, much more focused on their relationship and his love for her, and thinking like, oh, to have that kind of passionate love from somebody where they like pine for you. So it's hard to think about whether it's for real or not, but I do appreciate all the things we talked about. I do like Lloyd Dobler's character. I think it's funny. I laughed out loud. I thought there was like funny parts, and I do kind of appreciate that it's not just like people hating each other for 2 hours. So I'm gonna stick with it's for real, but it was a little bit of a roller coaster to get me there. But I just think it. I think it's a good 1989 film. And the characters are enjoyable enough, so yes, I'll stick with it.
Do you want to go? You can go ahead.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I really agree with everything you said. Like, I also found myself checking on the time, and like I said, like I just like couldn't believe there wasn't more plot and tension. I was like, surely something is not going to be as it seems. And like John Mahoney, like I guess his character, and like DC, or no, it's not DC. Cody's backstory is like dark, and like that was something that just like,
Corey? Corey,
yeah,
yeah.
like that could have been. They kind of just like it's just kind of hand, like mentioned, but you're like, whoa, that like got like really serious. But they don't really focus on her or that much. And so like it's almost like the opposite of Better Off Dead or something like One Crazy Summer, where you're just like everything matters. Like it's like everybody's got their own thing, and it's hard to tell even what's happening. It's just like, oh, I guess the whole thing is London and jail. Like that's it. But I will also say this movie is for real in that like the re I mean again, like I just was so delighted that it wasn't directed by John Hughes, I think. Like I'm just so used to those elements of like, oh God, do we have to be miserable? And like it's what I want those movies to lean into more. So it's kind of like I really liked that itch that it scratched. And yeah, people were funny and they were allowed to be like real people. And the dialogue was pretty authentic, which I'm usually like, a pretty big sucker for. It felt like maybe like it could have had a couple more edits. Like it'd be interesting if they re-edited this movie to smooth it out a little bit around the edges. It felt like maybe it had some context cut and put back in. I don't know.
There had to be some other scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm. Right. It was just interesting. And some of them, I think you could have really lost too. but in general, I don't know. I just thought it was like really interesting to watch. And I totally understand why people really like it. Like I get where it would have been really unique for its time as well. So, all the messages and yeah, I just like all the actors in it, and the soundtrack's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be rosier than you guys, even though I agree with a lot. When I first started this, I was like, I'm not sure I'm in the mood for sort of a Hughesian rom-com. Mm-hmm. And I think in my brain, I'd forgotten that it was a Cameron Crowe movie. And once I got into it, just really enjoyed it for the same reasons you guys mentioned, just the realness, the way he weaves in music, you know, just the right balance of funny. While I like and probably prefer a Better Off Dead, that level of zaniness, if you're going to go there, I think if you're going to do sort of the rom-com, I like this balance of like a lot of funny people, like I said, the sort of Greek chorus of women, the shorter Greek chorus of boys on the fence. Fence boys.
Hashtag fence boys.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that there was different parts where they had just a really good relationship with the dad, but he wasn't perfect. And I don't think Diane or Lloyd were perfect. And I think there was just some cool realness that was in there. So it definitely held up for me. It's for real. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yay. Thrice for real. Well, at the risk of being as basic as Lloyd, there's no other choice for the song this week. It just has to be what it has to be. Hopefully it will work.
David Lee Roth.
Oh, it's that falsetto. And the light, the heat. And he does talk about her eyes several times, by the way, which I think is like, I don't know if That's they went cool. back and added that in later, but like at the beginning, he would say something like, her eyes, it's her eyes.
Oh, right. It seems like something was added in later.
Something was added in later where it was like, the light, the heat, your eyes.
The genesis of it all.
That's so funny. I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah. And then later, like in that once in the scene at the dojo, she has like no makeup on and she's very sort of like teary. And I was like looking at her eyes and I was like, oh, her eyes are so bloodshot. Good job, Ione Sky.
Yeah. I said that like that. Oh, that was interesting. Is she's in this movie and then like not a ton else, right?
No.
Or
I don't think so. She's 53. I was like interested at like, I was like, oh yeah, these people were like just a little bit older than us. Mm-hmm. They're like, they were teenagers in the 80s, mm-hmm. whereas we were like more like teenagers in the 90s. So it was just interesting to like see that and see it. But John Cusack was older than most of the people in this movie.
He looks older, I'd say. But he has a perpetual baby face, but you just kind of know. He's got like a lot of arm hair, you know? You're like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Not a senior in high school.
I just looked this up and Ione Sky was Mrs. Veal from Arrested Development. Like the
Anne's
hot
mom?
Wife. Yes.
Oh, nice.
What season is that? Because I just finished season two.
I think it's three, maybe.
Okay. Then I'll look forward to seeing her soon.
Oh my gosh. Okay, great. That's fun. That kind of makes, that kind of tracks. Like I could see.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you to Amy L for
great.
The great intro.
Yes, thank you.
And I hope somebody holds a boombox for you.
I know.
And for all of you. We all deserve that kind of creepy,
really
stalkery
packs a punch.
Kind of love.
It's not that hard, but it's really effective. Yeah.
Luckily, like, with today's Bluetooth speakers, it won't be as taxing.
Yeah, you could just hold a little tiny Bluetooth speaker up.
Totally.
Or you could be like the dad from Fame and just like really blast it out your taxi. You know what I mean?
You could block a whole New York City intersection.
I think blast it out your taxi should be like an insult.
You can blast it out your taxi.
Go blast it out your taxi.
Go blast that out your taxi.
That's very
all right.
Good.
Till next time.
See ya.
Toulou.
In a world where people watch movies,
I think I'm gonna watch a movie.
Sometimes they don't like what they see.
I don't like this movie.
But sometimes they look for the silver lining.
Wait a second. I like this part of this movie.
Joel and Andy do that work for you. The Silver Linings Playback.
I like this part of this podcast where they tell me the part of the movie I like.
Every Monday on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.